want to smoke, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound for what? Do you get what I'm saying? That's what Paul was saying. We are dead to sin. What is our problem? What is the excitement about being allowed to sin? Do you get what I'm talking about, all of these things? That's what Paul's going to explain. What is our excitement? We are dead to sin. So they said that, okay, this our no sinning is not the path to heaven. The path to heaven is the blood of Jesus. Hey, guys, oh, yeah, man, have you seen? Nah, I'm going to go mark all the base for 8 hours. What do you call it? After, what's the name of that place now? 8 hours, sit out. Whether you allow us or you don't, we don't want. We love our lives. We love our wives. We have come to understand the word of God and we have come to know what is beautiful. Solomon married, in effect, 1,000 women and regretted 999. He did. He said there's nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. One, my life will not be the next experiment. I don't consider the man who's humanizing enjoying. I think he's crazy. I like to come home, drop my phone. My wife can read anything that's on it at any time. It doesn't concern me. I don't have to hide from anybody. I don't want to go to the doctor and come and check whether I've caught anything. The only thing I catch is maybe I catch love, amen. I catch good sleep. I catch a very warm hug. I catch everything at home. Praise the Lord. Nobody's going to knock on my door and say, does this one look like him? You know, they said they used to do to MQ appeal. I don't know whether it's true or not. They seem to be able to look. They said, that ear. Yeah, only one man get that kind of ear. Now he won't. So they will tell the mother, how far? You want money or you want us to collect the boy? They give me my own money. I don't have to do that. And I have the word of... get my point. I have the truth. Not just the scriptures now. It is the truth, all right? But I know the truth about life. That MK Wabiola does not have the quarter of enjoyment I have with one wife. He didn't have it. The Frenchman, everybody talks about him being promiscuous, but he has a saying. He said, love many women, you have loved none at all. He said, love one woman, you have loved them all. My friend quoted a famous American basketballer who was on record that he slept with 4,000 women. Solomon was a joker beside that guy. And he gave the testimony of the word of God without knowing the scripture said it already. He said, it is better to sleep with one woman 10,000 times than to sleep with 10,000 women. That was the testimony of an unbeliever who lived his life recklessly. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, for what? We are already dead to sin. Sin is not sweet to us. Are you getting my point? It's not sweet. It's not sweet. Anytime I see people drinking beer, occasionally, I'm not joking, you'll laugh what I want to tell you. Occasionally, out of curiosity, I say, pour me small. I just came from Benin. After our exam, we sit down. What do you like to drink? I say, water. You know, I always drink water when I'm eating food, really. All right? And unless I'm very, very hungry. So I need the first hit of that glucose from Coke or Fanta. So my friend also asked for water. So I made a joke. I said, you are not a big man. The only big men, do they offer everything that they ask for water? So we're joking. I said, okay. And I said, give me Heineken. You know, I've been seeing Heineken on television, all those kind of adverts. So when he got his Heineken, I said, please, pour me small. So he measured it with a few cups, literally. Just measured it in. He said, don't waste it. I said, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to drink it. So I drank it. I said, thank you. I poured my water and continued drinking. There was one guy beside me, he was looking at my water. I said, no, I was just wondering, what is all this dancing on television for Heineken? So maybe. I said, I wanted to know whether there's something inside. Because I have tested the other ones before here and there. You know, I told the first day I tested stout, I had to check whether the one I tested is bad. Because the way men sit down and go through this thing. So I said, maybe the one I tasted is bad. They say, okay, it was hot. I said, okay, no wahala. One day I'll take the one that is cold. I have tried the one that is cold at the end of the day. I worshiped the Lord.
for delivering me as a young man.
Yes, when I was young, it was a commandment. In fact, you know, don't, if you go near, God will just kill you, send you to a Henneken path of hellfire, you know?
But I outgrew all of those things. It's not true. I mean, what is his name? Billy Graham grew up in the time of abolitionism. That's what's called in America. No alcohol was allowed by law. So finally, government found that it was not working. It was causing more problems. So they released everybody can buy alcohol if you want. The first thing the father did was to go and buy them a crate of beer. Gathered all his children to the kitchen, opened it, poured it for all of them. Said, drink. They all drank. And they kept it. Said, do you like it? They said, no. He said to them simply, now listen, you don't drink because there's nothing in it to want. They said yes, and none of them ever drank. The father was a Christian. He didn't believe the people should drink. But when they released everybody, now drink, he went and bought drink, brought to the house, sat all his children down, served them, drink, drink. All of them tasted, I said, good. So they walked in everywhere, say, have a drink. They're not tempted. What is it? That nonsense, foul thing that cost me money? Now, you get the principle. You are getting the principle. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul said, may it never be. How can people that have been delivered from evil? We said it before, sin is a poison. So he said, a man, after enjoying life, he now got saved, he didn't enjoy life. After destroying his life for years, God finally rescued him. Why should I envy him? And as a matter of fact, Chris Okotie said it. There was a night he almost jumped out of his window at Federal Palace Hotel because he was frustrated with life. Somebody told me recently, you know Marilyn Monroe? You heard of the story? That American female sex symbol of those days. Famous actress. Everybody knew her. She was very rich. Used to hobnob with the rich and famous, her boyfriends were presidents and stuff like that. They said she used to cry like, please, I'm a human being. That people couldn't see her as a human being. Finally, she committed suicide. If she repented, we say, after enjoying life, you call that enjoyment? You think any woman with her right senses wants to be jumping from one bed to the other? They look at the ones that have a stable marriage and they envy them. But they can't say it like that. Satan doesn't allow them to say it like that. They come out and dress. Hey, chicky, chicky, chicky. Why the shoe is getting higher and higher? It's called notice me more and more. Please notice me. I go see some shoes sometimes. I wonder. They used to put heel behind. Finally, the heel for back not work again. They don't stretch out to the limit. Anything behind like that, I go to walk to the toilet. So. Then they add heel for front. So if you have 6 inches behind, they will have 4 inches for back, 4 inches for front. So it's actually 6 inches with four in front, four behind. You now see 10 inches behind. Don't worry. Very soon, they will double that in height. Why? Notice me some more, please. Now I'm begging you. If you don't notice me, I will die. You know, one of the things you understand in life, you don't need any of those things outwardly to make you complete. He will say, I'm unhappy because I'm unmarried. Listen, marry first, you will see what they call unhappiness. Right now, if you are broke, you are broke alone. A time will come, you'll be broke for two people. Then you know what they call unhappy. If you are not happy now, please don't go and marry anybody. You'll mess everything up. You must first turn to God for joy. He's the source of joy. Amen? He's the source of satisfaction. If God doesn't pour that thing into you, there's no car you want to buy. I was telling my wife the other day, you know when I saw Galaxy S3 phone? I love the phone. My wife almost bought it for me. I warned her seriously. I said, because the LG Optimus 3 DP920 I'm using, the day I saw it, that's how I fell in love with it. A year later, they said Galaxy S4 is coming out. I said, my wife, see? They want to confuse adults like me. I refuse to be confused. Some people, one guy told me that he's using an iPhone 5, which he bought for 160,000 naira. He said, I hear that this Galaxy X4 is wicked. It's a wicked phone. I'm already getting ready. I go home, go tell my wife, I see confusion. Meanwhile, the man is holding an iPhone 5, which came out a few months ago, and I heard that Galaxy S4 is wicked. If God does not, listen, if you have not rejoiced with Nokia 1110, with your touchlight, and now they have added FM radio. If you have not rejoiced with it, Galaxy Note 2 will not make you happy. It will make you happy for 2 weeks. After that, you know that when I slide my finger like this, you know they move to the end. You go see the confusion. Are you getting my point? It's very important. If God doesn't pour that thing into you, it's not those things outwardly that make somebody happy or complete. Now, get back to what I was saying, all right? And this is the point. So I can't see somebody who is in confusion and be envying the person and say, you're enjoying. I tell young ladies, you see the way they dress on the road? All these guys, you see? You know, what is her name? Whitney Houston. Didn't she marry that bad boy? I was wondering what is going on here. The truth is that those people are empty inside. So part of the satisfying the emptiness, marry a famous person. Even though you are famous yourself. Part of satisfying the emptiness, you go wear cloth. Was this Tony Braxton? Showed up on stage once. Even the unbelievers were shocked. You get what I'm saying? You know, we church people. Like, don't mind them. They're all going to hellfire. No. Even the people. To show the photo, that picture is hard to find. It's X-rated in most places. Anthony Braxton came out like that. Grammy Awards. They had to outdo each other with exposing their bodies. I say to young girls, when you see them, they are not to be emulated. They are not happy. They are not. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? For what? Do you get the point? For what? There is nothing to envy out there. Nothing. What you see is confusion lying. Yesterday, my son called me to come and see something. He said, Daddy, you wouldn't believe it. He was watching National Geographic. I saw somebody who said their way by which they enjoy themselves is to play puppy. It isn't a joke. This man, I tell my son, is that a man or a woman? He said, well, it's supposed to be a man, but it sounds like a woman. No? That's what Akinlu told me. Two of us were looking. We didn't know whether it was a man or a woman. But anyway, let's make a long story short. Now, puppy. When the woman in the house, when she's reading, she'll be rubbing his head like this. And he'll be doing, And he'll lie on the floor and be sniffing under her feet. And at night, he'll crawl into a cage and sleep. And this woman, this guy, the night interview, said, well, some people think it's a taboo. You know, that is the way I get an expression, I say, of your demon possession. Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? For what? So I can be a puppy. Whether there's a law against puppiness or not. Oh boy, I don't want to be puppy. This guy will actually see a car passing on the road. And they, and they run after dogs. Literally, the woman will put a leash on his neck and be dragging him. And they are talking that is the expression of the connect with the, and you know, trying to make it look nice. Listen, it's evil. It's confusion. When I told my wife, if this guy gives his life to Christ, you will see doggy demon will run out. There's a demon of dogginess inside that guy. In case you don't know, Snoop Doggy Dog has it too. Are we to continue in sin? For what? What are we enjoying, being a puppy or doggy? I like to be a human being. At night, I sleep well. If I need a dog, I buy a real dog. Bingo. I will not be the dog. Are you getting what I'm explaining? Let's continue reading our scripture, John. So that's the issue. Paul said, how shall we who have died to sin still live in it? It's not possible. He said, oh, do you not know that all of us have been baptized into Christ Jesus? I'm just paraphrasing now. Therefore, we have been buried, verse 4, with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Let me summarize it like this. Newness of life, we have a different perspective towards life. We are looking for something different in life. Our goals, you know, there's a sermon I told you that I will send out. Maybe I pray I'll be able to finish it shortly and send it out. Talking about the love of God. Our desire in life is we're not trying to use God as a tool. We love God. We want to please him with our lives. Please, I hope you'll get the point I'm making. It's a new life. It is not I built a house, where I bought a car, I have children that's pursuing us. No, we want our lives to be the expression of godliness. We know there was a reason God gave us life. We know. We want to live out our lives so that that reason will be manifested. We are satisfied inside. Are you getting my point? It's not the things outside that's giving us satisfaction. From inside us, the spirit of satisfaction already dwells there. When we wake up in the morning, it's for a different reason. When we pursue our businesses, it's for a different reason. I like to give this example all the time. As business people, we understand that a good name is better than money. What does that mean? When we want to do business, we say, okay, how do we strategize for making a good name? We don't strategize for making good money. First of all, in all our business strategizing, what's on top is good name. Good name. Good name. We choose a good name for our company physically, that is just a literal name. But more importantly, our reputation is more important to us than the amount of money we make. Is it called a newness of life? Like the one I say all the time. As a woman, we're looking for a man who can take care of me. For what? I'm not a problem in life. I'm looking for a man who together we can do the will of God. If I cannot interpret your dreams and your visions, I can't be your wife. If I can't connect with you spiritually speaking, I can't be. If you like, toss me 100 million naira. That's not the issue. He said, draw me unto you, let us walk together. Like I always say to men, if the woman doesn't believe your prophecy, you know, she's not your wife. Okay? Don't buy her anything. That's not why you used to win the woman. Talk. You know, God don't bless me for this life. Yes. You know, walk with God. I know my life. The woman doesn't believe that, not be a wife with that one. Yeah. We never say, Angelina, if you don't marry me, you know, I'm going to die. I love you, I love you, I love you. Nonsense love is that one. We're talking about a newness of life. He said, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. And if you have died with Christ, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live or experience life with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, that the life that he lives, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, he was speaking to believers, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, now you see this perspective. Paul was looking at this thing from a done perspective. Those days were taught, avoid sin so you don't go to hellfire. Have you known that Paul didn't say that? It didn't cross his mind. That these are not the issues. That sinning is not the life of a Christian. It's not something, avoid this one, or avoid this one. No, it's not your life. I said something last week. We were confused for a second or two until I explained what I meant. I said, you go into political office, you want to start stealing. I said, we don't refuse to steal because we don't want to go to hell. That if you start stealing, you get to heaven faster. When I said, what do you mean? What I mean is that God is likely to behead you early. And then you die fast. And you can go to heaven on time before you disgrace everybody down here. And I said there's still minutes. Most of the people who misbehave, having come out from church, and God spares them and keeps them alive, most of them are not Christians. Most are not. God just looked them and said, this one is a church goer. Truly, if he was a believer, God would not injure him. Serious injury. They don't disgrace me. As for this one, say, I don't know them. You can speak in tongues. Movie actors, they speak in anything. Speak with their teeth if necessary. You get what I'm saying? So what I'm going to make is, you see, Paul is not looking from that perspective. He's saying that at least this is our life. As believers, we are dead to sin. It's a matter of fact. Peter said, anybody who does not live a life that shows he's dead to sin has forgotten, in summary, that he's dead to sin. In fact, let me just leave this and quickly jump to that, all right? Because I'm watching my time. There's a scripture I wanted to read, and let me just jump to it now so that you see. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read the whole of this chapter 6, but because of time, let's just jump to Galatians chapter 5. You see something there. What are we talking about? Righteousness is ours already. We are not trying to attain it. Once we believe, we have been made righteous. What did I say? Say it after me. I have believed. And on that basis, I'm righteous. That's a matter of fact. I didn't come here to preach so that God will say, this is a righteous man. No. If I'm at home now sleeping, I'm still a righteous man. Do you get my point? Why am I here preaching? Because this is my assignment. I'm dead to sin. Amen? I am. Why am I doing the things I'm doing? These are the assignments for my life. God gave me breath for a reason. And this is the reason I'm expressing that reason. That's what I'm doing. I'm not a faithful husband because I don't want to go to hellfire. I don't know what else to be. Are you getting my point? No, I don't know what else to be. I mean, what are the options? What are the options? What are the options? My name is not Solomon. I have read that Solomon said that's confusion. Please, I hope you're getting my point. For us, walking in righteousness is normal. That's just life. It's not something we're trying to do so as to make a point. I don't know when last I swallowed my food to make a point to my wife, the food is sweet. I swallow my food because that's what food does when you put it in the mouth. It goes down the throat. It's very funny. I said, as I'm swallowing this food right now, I'm sowing the seed into the happiness of this marriage. When I chew, after a while, something will, in fact, they have been saying in Yoruba land, they said that we wish to chew the meat for a long time, but that pulling thing inside the throat, no, they agree. And there's something inside there, you know, that keeps pulling the thing backwards. So that, you know, you will let you, next thing, boom, you don't go, I've chewed this thing some more. It's just natural. That's what I'm trying to say. Walking in righteousness for us is also what? Natural. The reason why we don't, a lot of times, we'll get there, that's what I want to read now, is number one, Peter said, because we are forgotten. We think we're unbelievers. What do I mean when I say we are forgotten? A Christian starts looking for how to be sharp and make money and gather because he has forgotten that his future is secure. He has forgotten. So he's being sharp. He's being sharp. If he knows, he's certain that, this thing is in God's hands. It's not, we lose this one, we get another one. And like I say all the time, Christians actually never lose. I hope you know that. On business might close, but the spiritual seeds remain. It remains. Christians only misbehave when they forget. Peter said that it's when people forget. Go and read that 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, if anybody does not have these things, it's because he has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his sins. Righteousness for us is what? Natural. We have been made righteous. The walking in righteousness is a natural part of our lives. We are not trying to become anything. We have been made that thing in Christ Jesus. It's on the basis of our faith. We are not trying to get God to love us and bless us. We have been loved, and therefore, we have been blessed. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians chapter 20, chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 20. Let's start from verse 16. But I say, walk in the Spirit, or walk by the Spirit, meaning the same thing, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets itself against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may find it hard to do the things that you really want to do. Let me literally say, so that you may not do the things that you please. That is, there are some things that are called natural inclinations. They are different from the things that a desire, that a believer pleases in. Are you getting what I'm saying? Note that. Let me really explain what Bible means by flesh, all right? There are two ways to look at it. There's a spiritual angle, but there's a physical angle. Some things are natural. Are you getting my point? When I say natural, now to the flesh, all right? You know, I saw one man on National Geographic. They call him the Iceman. Do you follow? So they said the man can do strange things, you know. Some of us won't understand because we don't live in those climates, all right? Like he does a marathon inside the freezing weather. That is snow all around. The guy goes wearing just his, running trunks and shoes and runs naked for many, many kilometers. You understand? The man will dip to relax inside, you know, a lake that the top is frozen. So you can mind the temperature of the water. Just crack a hole in it. He enter it and he relax. So one man was analyzing it. The man understands the human physiology. That normally you can't take a deep breath in that kind of freezing cold. Because your nose, they say, he explained that your nose kind of freezes at the back. There's a way your body behaves, you know. He said, but this man has commanded his body to behave another way. And he said there's a particular kind of meditation he does to achieve that. I'm coming to something, all of this I'm saying. So you see, the body reacts in a natural, it's not an evil, now you have to understand something. It's not necessarily basically evil. Some of them are just the instincts for self-preservation. For example, selfishness. Selfishness is part of the self-preserving instinct so that it will be enough. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's part of it. That's why animals don't just share. They share only with their offspring. Any other person, go kill your own. You know that kind of thing. They fight. They're always trying to fight. It's a survival of the fittest. That's it. Those things are fleshly. All right? Okay. Now, those desires, whether you are a believer or not, they are there. As long as you walk in this body, you still have a body. There is a way your body wants to react. Now, please notice this. So Paul said that walk in the Spirit or walk by the Spirit and you will not... Now, notice something. He didn't say fight the desire of the flesh. He said do what? Walk in the Spirit. That is, you cannot fight the desire of the flesh in itself. That's why when you see what's going on in the Western world, especially in America right now, people are trying to carry liberty to an extent that's unreasonable to you and me. Now, for some of the people pressing for that, you must understand something. They can't understand what your problem is. Because what they are pressing for is what is natural to them. Please, you must understand this point. That is, they have been cut off, both personally and generationally, from a contact with the Spirit of God. Therefore, they don't have anything to walk by so as to help them fight the desires of the flesh. Now, you are not telling them not to walk by the desires of the flesh. They look at you as if you are wicked. Please, I'm going somewhere. Paul didn't say fight the desires of the flesh. He said there is a way that is normal for you to walk. And if you walk like that, the desires of the flesh die a natural death. And that's one thing I want to drop in for us as believers before I close. And if I can't finish it, I'll finish it next time. He said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. He said, the Spirit has a desire, and that is the thing that you please. That is, let me explain what I'm saying. As a Christian, there are things you want to do because you know they are right. Are you getting my point? There are things you want to do because you know they are right. Even though sometimes the flesh, like I'm giving a very good example, vengeance. Vengeance is flesh. That man slapped me. You know that kind of thing. The flesh says, we no go agree. And you say, we no go agree. In fact, you know, when I was in university, in fact, I don't know, for a certain reason, I believe it's one of the things that God used to call me. one of my classmates, he did me a terrible... When I was in my first year on campus, I wasn't as big as... I was much smaller than this. Very, very small. In fact, people used to make mockery of me. So in fact, one of my classmates used to ask whether I brought my feeding bottle to school. It was my classmate. His name is Alex. He said, oh boy, where did your mother keep your feeding bottle? At my first year on campus. And occasionally, you get oppressed because of that. And I used to get angry, really, really angry. And, oh God, I had plans. Amen? One day, one of my classmates gave me a blow in the eye for no just reason. And it was eye, literally aimed for my eye. It was painful. It pinned me both physically and emotionally. And I swore to him, to myself, I will make you regret your life. And I meant it. Because you are bigger than me. Don't worry now. She's not this room with it. I still remember my plans to frustrate him. That is, I was going to make this guy cry. To make it worse, I reported him to his friend. Hoping that one would just say, don't mind, maybe talk to his friend and say, why did you do that kind of thing? And I said, I won't forgive him. You know what his friend did? He laughed. I left to say, what are you planning to do about it? I said, okay. This guy go cry for your face. I don't want to teach people evil by telling you what I had planned to do. I had plotted. But unfortunately, I think that day or the next day was a Sunday. And I was going to go for CU fellowship. Now, this point I'm making. I knew, oh God, as I was heading there, I almost did not go because I knew God would ask me to forgive him. I was aware and I made it clear to God, there's no way I'm not going to punish that guy. In my own way. No, there was no way. I was very young, but I already knew the fight with the Spirit of God. I explained to God, I am not going for fellowship because when I get there now, you will start this talk on forgiveness. I'm not going to forgive a man I'd rather kill. So, the evil I want to do him, manage that one. I refused to. By the time it was 4 o'clock, I dressed up. I grudgingly, I just said, I'll go for fellowship, but forget this forgiveness thing. I'm not forgiving anybody. I entered the fellowship, all I like, I'm not forgiving him. By the time I finished the fellowship, I said, okay, if that's what you want, okay, I forgive him. But I have a strong feeling. That was why he repeated his first year. And God saved me by one narrow thing that I did not repeat it. I left him back in school by a year or two. Listen, don't oppress people because you think they don't have help. If I'd done what I planned to do, I'm sure I would have repeated that 1 year. There was something that happened. I don't have time now to explain it. But God just interposed and said, don't worry, you won't repeat this year. Go on. I almost missed an exam. They told my friend, one of my guys at home, call him for us. That the date of the exam had been changed. I did not know. But I just came to school early anyway because my mother said, go. I got there, she said, you got our message. I said, I didn't get it. So the exam is on Monday. This was Saturday. I said, it's not possible. It's supposed to be 2 weeks from now. They said, well, they took me to this timetable and showed it to me. I said, my God. I was a medical student. You failed it. You repeated the year. They didn't care that it was a one-unit course. You're repeating the year. Something held him back. He missed one exam or so. He repeated the year. Now, this is my message. The flesh wants vengeance. The spirit understands that he's supposed to forgive. Do you understand my point? And the spirit is lusting against the flesh, or the flesh is lusting against the spirit, so that you will not do that which you please. Because as a believer, what pleases you really is the will of God. What pleases you really as a true Christian is that you do that which is pleasing to God. Every other thing in our flesh. And Paul said, I'm not asking you to fight the flesh. I'm saying to you, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. He now went ahead, because I want to close, please, because of time. Maybe we'll pick up from here. He now went ahead to explain that these are the deeds of the flesh. They are evident. Immorality. Now, okay, sorry. Let me go back there, verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, again, because of time, I can't spend a lot of time explaining that. But what I was just saying is this. Being led by the Spirit is not, Holy Spirit, what do I eat this morning? My son, thou shalt make cooker oats and eat it with upper. That's not what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit. What it means to be led by the Spirit is what is pressing you in life. Let me get an example. My best example all the time is football players. All right, these men are running. Some of them can do 100 meters in 10 seconds. They are running at full speed. Somebody comes, gives them one rough tackle. They hit the floor. If they still have the goal advantage, they get up immediately and they keep going. Why? Their spirit is the goal. So the spirit of a man bears all those fallings and rough tackles and they keep going. Those guys wear out after a few years. The injuries are plenty. But while they are there, the spirit of the man bears his infirmity. That it was the driving thing in his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right. So he said, but if you are led by the Spirit, what we're talking about there, that what is pushing you is the Spirit of God. What is pushing you in life is the newness of life that you have in Christ Jesus. That's what he was saying. He said, that one, you are not under the law, which means you don't even need commandments. To say, like I was saying earlier, you know, Christians focus too much on commandments. Thou shalt smoke, thou shalt not smoke. Do you understand my point? If I know that my life, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, I don't need you to try and rearrange this scripture to prove to me that I shouldn't smoke. Doesn't help me. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Most people who smoke is they want to belong. I don't want to belong. I like to be alone. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was alone. Now, let's continue reading. I want to stop, please. He now said in verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. That is, they are easy to see. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is, they will not experience. Now, we don't have time to explain that now. That the manifestation of the kingdom of God will not be found in their lives. We've discussed the kingdom of God different times. All right? It's a body fruit of. Now, please understand this. The fruit of the Spirit. What does he say talking about here? When we use the word fruit, what does that mean? You planted a seed. The works of the flesh, they are natural. There's no seed planted. That's why I said the works of the flesh are evident. But he didn't say the works of the Spirit. He said what? The fruit. What he was saying is this. There is a seed, and that seed is called walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, it produces a natural fruit. Please get my point. That is, there is what is called walking in the Spirit. Do that thing, and your life, without your trying to put in an effort, your life will bring forth love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You don't try to love as a believer. You don't try to have peace. You don't try to be patient. What to try, if I may use that expression, is to walk in the Spirit. The question is, what is walking in the Spirit? That's the question, which I will answer next time. I was hoping to discuss that today. Because every spiritual commandment like that has practical manifestations. And this is the interesting part about it. They're usually very simple things to do. Very simple. Give a very simple example. Walking the Spirit. It's not just, what are we doing? We are meditating so as to walk in the Spirit. No. There are practical things. Say, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The people you relate with, that's number one place. I don't know where I get my point. Okay, it's Saturday evening. Where do you go? You could be in 8 hours sharing communion. You know, I've been warning you about communion. People think, God doesn't like me to drink beer. Beer is not the problem. It's the communion. Have you ever been to an Anglican church? Have you seen what they call communion wine? It has 10 times the amount of alcohol beer has. Maybe not 10 times. That 10 times is a lie, all right? But maybe 4 times. Bishop, you know, they drink this thing now. Wait. Thing is strong. If they hit you a good size, you will enter the spirit. What is the difference? One is a communion. The girl who's serving you, her blouse na here, the skirt na here, and as she's serving, the other guy hit her for back, and you are laughing, idiot. You are there laughing, you are drinking. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the other one, when you're in church, when they serve it, everything is solemn. They read the scripture. This is his body that was broken for you. Listen, if they give you pure alcohol from Niger Delta, you will see God. No, in that one, you will see God. It's not the alcohol. No, the issue here is simple. Look at the environment. They read the scripture. There's a righteous man on one side and another one on the other side. A righteous woman here. Your wife is by your side. No matter what you drink at that time, you can only see God. I said, I don't drink alcohol, I only drink malt. Malt carries evil spirits if drunk in the wrong place. They didn't say, I don't drink alcohol. I just want a bottle of malt. At 8 hours at night, the guy is in his front, you know him, don't lie. The girl beside him is not his wife. You know, you are pretending because he has business contract to sign. He said, this is where I meet my clients. You will soon be a client of hellfire. You are getting what I'm saying? Please, like I told you, I want to close, please. I don't want this staying for too long. I should stop it. You understand? But walking in the spirit has practical manifestations. And we'll discuss it again next time. What have I said today? We are already righteous. Amen?
Amen.
We don't walk. Look, the fact that we are not walking to attain righteousness doesn't mean we desire to do evil works. Because evil works, they are not our nature. Do you understand my point? And Paul didn't say, fight the works of the flesh. Yes, the flesh, those works of the flesh, they are natural. Paul said, ignore them first. Walk in the spirit. You will discover that it's natural for you not to fulfill the works of the flesh. And next time, we'll continue talking about what it means to walk in the spirit. I hope you are blessed today. If you are blessed, shout a loud amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you because...